paid
260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
Hello, what is up, Kickback family? It's your boy, Josh, JD. Back with another podcast. I know, guys, it's been a while. It's been close to a month since the last episode, and I definitely apologize for that. I've just been insanely busy, but I do hope you guys have had a great month, especially if you love sneakers. You must have enjoyed this last month. A lot of super, super nice releases, especially from Jordan Brand, the 3s, the Reimagined, also the 4SBs. It's been a great month for sneakers, guys, but getting back to this week's episode, I have been really excited for this one, interviewing one of my good buddies also in the sneaker YouTube space. You guys, I'm sure, have heard of him. I'm sure you've watched one of his videos, Bryce Kicks. I know there's a lot of people on YouTube who review shoes, but there's just not that many people who show you how to wear them properly. So Bryce is your guy if you love collecting sneakers, but you also want to look good doing so. And we had a great conversation. We got into fashion, sneakers, and I had a lot of fun. It's a longer episode than usual, but it's great. So without further ado, let's get into it. And we are back, the Kickback Pod once again. Shout out to all of the day one listeners. We're moving into episode, I've lost count. Is it 53, 54? I don't know. But guess what, guys? We got a big treat for you this episode because we got the most stylish man on sneaker YouTube the pod, man. None other than Bryce Kicks, man. Bryson Moore. Yes. What is up, my man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. That was a great intro. Thank you. I wish I was. Sometimes I feel like I am.
Dude, undoubtedly you are, man. There's no competition when it comes to most stylish dude on sneaker YouTube. It's definitely you. Who else is even in the convo?
I mean, for sneaker YouTube, it's tricky because there's so many different subcultures within YouTube in terms of like the fashion sense. But I know recently you had Drew Joyner on the pod, and I know that guy. He's less so much into sneakers, although I know he does have a number of pairs. But you know, in my opinion, that's that guy gets busy when it comes to fashion.
Yeah, no doubt,
and,
no know, doubt, Drew.
And stuff like that. So that
was a great. I just don't know if. But like you said, he's not. I don't know if he's sneaker YouTube. I mean, I guess there's Richie Lee.
Richie Lee, stylish dude.
Eddie Wynn. Shout out to Eddie Wynn.
Hey man, he was a big inspiration for me starting my channel. So, but I'm sure we'll get into all that kind of stuff a little bit later.
Speaking of Eddie Wynn is one of the main reasons why I'm actually doing sneaker YouTube, because when I first started, like one of my first videos ever, which was just like no editing whatsoever, no mic. I just did like a review of, I totally forgot what sneaker, and he actually commented on my video. And that's when I was like, no way, Eddie Wynn did that? I gotta keep doing this YouTube shit.
Isn't it wild how like a comment can, it can like, you get like, whoa. Like I remember same thing. One time I commented on Mr. Fomer Simpson's, one of his videos, and he responded. And I remember being like, so like, what? Like, oh, he responded. You know what I mean? It's so funny. Yeah, you look back and you kind of laugh at it now. But man, and that's why, you know, even with my YouTube stuff, I've always, you know, tried to respond to as many comments as I possibly can. And because it's like when you're a smaller channel as well, it's like you, that's like a luxury for you. Like you have the time to do that kind of stuff. And as you grow, it gets a little bit more tricky. But that's one thing I've always tried to do, is just respond to as many comments as much as possible. But it's wild. Those early YouTube guys. Did you ever watch Yo Auntie?
Yeah, of course, man. Yeah. Yo Auntie, big influence on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
Those
OGs, man.
Guys,
the,
man.
I would say like biggest influences by far in the beginning for me were Bullet, RC, and Tony D2 Wild, man.
Yeah.
Those two guys.
I know.
So entertaining, man. And they're still they're still so good at it.
I know. And it's they've gotten good at like just capturing their life as well. You know, it's not just there was the vlogs. I remember when they were doing the sneaker con thing, you know, month over month, they were recording the whole process. So that was such a fun time. And like you said, like that was a big inspiration for me getting into it. And specifically with like guys like Yo Auntie and Eddie Wynn, it's like it wasn't just the sneakers. They would always capture moments where it's like, oh, here's what I would wear with them. And I always appreciated that. And you know, that's something that I was like, oh, if I ever started my YouTube channel, that's something that I would do. And yeah, you know, all this time later, I look back at those moments, at those early moments, and think like that was like a pillar of where I am today.
Yeah, definitely. You know what? You've already gotten into some of the questions I was going to ask you later about, like, what was some of your early inspiration starting YouTube and all that. But we'll definitely get back into it. But usually when on the Kickback Pod, we always got to talk about what has been in our rotation lately. Yeah. So I can go first. So, guys, I have been, I got to come clean. I have been very wrong about this one shoe. Me and Fabian, by the way, Fabian is my co-host on the pod, currently on vacation. Me and Fabian, we have been shitting since the beginning on the 990 V6.
Really?
And I got, because we just, we talked about it as if it was, you know, it looked like a Skechers shoe. We just didn't like the look of it. Man, like, my mind has totally changed. I've totally come around. It is now the one shoe I just cannot get off my feet. Probably what I've been wearing the most over the last few weeks. It's just ultra, ultra comfortable. I would even go as far as to say, out of all the shoes in my collection right now, I would rank that all the way number one as far as like most comfortable shoe I own.
That's what I hear a lot, how comfortable they are.
And it's very, very lightweight too, compared to the 990 V4 and V5. It's so lightweight.
Yeah.
I think
I think we've yet to see some of the best colorways of them. There's only been kind of like a few, and the most notable I think has been the Action Bronson pair, which is great. But I think that there's still so much more potential, and I feel like they're going to be rolling out a lot more pairs of those, and I just don't see why they wouldn't. So
I'm very excited about the next colorway of the Action Bronson one. Have you seen that one? It kind of looks like the Union 4s.
Yeah, I have. I think I much prefer the first colorway, though. But you know how it is. Sometimes you need a little bit more time to see something. I've only kind of seen, like, teaser photos. I know Action Bronson recently posted, like, the heel of the shoe or something like that. So I think, you know, as time will tell, it's definitely more wearable for sure. But there's something about that first colorway that was just, like, stuck with so many people. It's so unique, and all the press that he did for it, he kept referring to it as like a work of art, and I completely agree, because it's very polarizing. Like, when you first look at it, you're like,
not sure
what to make of it, and then, you know, as time goes on and you see people wearing it, it's just like, wow, it's like a very interesting shoe.
I'm excited to actually try those out. They haven't released in Europe yet. And honestly, I've been on the I don't like it side of that polarizing debate. But I think it's because I need to see maybe like a Bryce Kick styling video, man. Because I don't know. I don't know how to pull these off.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't able to grab them. I think I might pass on them. But whenever it comes to like wild shoes like that, you know, I always try to, like, you know, keep the rest of the outfit kind of like relatively muted, and just like added little pops of color to accent it, whether it's like a beanie or a hat or like, you know, stuff like that. So it is definitely a wild shoe. I'm curious to see how people are going to be styling it as well.
No doubt. So the other shoe I've been rocking a lot, and I've been really showcasing this on my IG stories, it's the Jordan 4 SB Pine Green, man. Like, I've never ever, like, I love Jordan 4s. It's by far my favorite Jordan model, but this is the first time I've ever worn a comfortable pair of Jordan 4s. So, like, I mean, like, I've never thought of Jordan 4s or 1s or any of those retro Jordans as comfortable per se.
Yeah.
Maybe the 3s, I would say the 3s are kind of comfortable, actually.
Yeah.
But depends the 4s, man. Yeah, like the new ones, the white cements, in my opinion, are very comfortable.
I mean, but, I definitely agree. Although I gotta say, I think they're the SB4s a little overrated in my opinion. I think that they're great, but I remember you were referring to it as one, and I've heard a lot of people referring it to as one of the best collabs in the past few years. And I think they're great, and I love the combination of the two, the SB with the Jordan, but I don't know. I think it's just pretty simple, and you know, there's nothing wrong with simple. And but I don't know. I didn't have this like gravitational pull towards the shoe.
I think for me, it's because like my favorite colorway ever of the Jordan 4 is the Military 4s.
Oh yeah.
And this colorway, it's kind of like it's the same color blocking. Yeah. They just replaced the blue with the green. So and I'm all about green. So I really I really like the colorway, but much more than the colorway, it's about everything else with the shoe. The comfort's great. The toe box is great. The shape of the shoe is great.
Yeah, that's important.
It's a winner. For me, it's like the best Jordan that's released so far this year. So very happy to have that.
Yeah. You know what's wild? I remember when I was first like getting into sneakers, the Military 4s, I remember that release, and they didn't really make us too much of a splash at the time. Like, it was one of those shoes where you could have just gone and got it on the first day. They probably would have sold out, you know, by the next weekend or whatever. But I remember there wasn't too much going on with that release. And I think like it's because it was too simple or too plain, and it wasn't an OG colorway that people didn't resonate with it. And I feel like nowadays the sneaker world has changed, where it's like those simple and everyday wearable colors are the ones that fly the quickest.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen that they're bringing back an SB version of kind of, it's almost the military blues, but it's like a slightly darker blue. Yeah, it's supposed to be coming out later this year. Like, it's like one shade of blue darker than the military blues, but everything else about it is pretty much the same.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm very excited to get that if those release.
Yeah.
So what about you, man?
In terms of stuff I've been wearing lately, I've been wearing some Air Max 1s recently. I've yet to wear the original, the Air Max 1 red that came out recently, the big bubble ones. I haven't worn those yet. I've been wearing that Ugly Duckling pair that I got a couple weeks ago. I've been wearing those a lot.
I've seen you wearing Air Max sneakers at the gym a lot.
Yeah, I wear a lot of Air Max, period. And one of my favorite shoes of all time is the Neon 95s. And when those released, I was so excited to get those. Every once in a while, there's like a release that I'm like, you know, I'm just like so excited. And that was definitely one of those. One of those times where I was just overwhelmed with, but I wear Air Max a lot, especially in the gym. I wear Air Max 90s, to work out in. If I have to do any sort of like, you know, stable lifts like squats or deadlifts, I'll swap the shoes for something a little bit more fitting for working out, like the Metcons or something like that. But I do wear Air Max a lot. I've been wearing, Air Jordan 3s a lot recently. One of my favorite shoes, I think, I've come to realize this recently, but like one of my favorite shoes of all time, I think, might be the Amma Mania Air Jordan 3. Ever since I've gotten those, they've just been week over week just in my rotation. It's just the comfort. You want to talk about comfort? Those are great. And the quality is amazing, and it just goes with my aesthetic a lot. So, and then my by the door sneaker, honestly, right now, you know, to no surprise, is the Adidas Samba. It's like one of those shoes that are just, it's always there. I wear it when I go to my soccer games. I wear it there. I wear it to get fits off. I wear it to go to the grocery store. Like, it's just one of those things that has just been by my door since for the past couple of years. I got the white pair about a year and a half ago. So.
Just the standard, the OG white colorway.
Yeah, and the black as well. I got the black in January, and I've been wearing those. Yeah, equally as much. It's funny. It's become like I feel like people are like they're almost apprehensive to say that they like them. You know what I mean?
I think. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is. It's become a meme shoe, and it's like, it's a good shoe. Like, I don't get like why, because everybody's wearing them. Like, that's a problem. Like, people don't approach that with the Air Force One. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Sometimes people
feel
just
like, especially with like, you know, like the older Jordan head type of guys, like reason I feel like they have this hatred towards Adidas sneakers. That's just like just based on like some of the comments I get sometimes on Adidas shoes. Like, it's usually these guys who just wear Jordans who think like any Sambas or any kind of Adidas sneakers are just really lame.
I don't get it either. Yeah. I don't understand. And I completely agree. Every time I make a video on YouTube about that, and I even if I mention new brands that I'm like, oh, I think you guys would, it's always those guys are always the loudest ones in terms of like, oh, that's trash, or like, oh, like, you know, all of a sudden you're wearing, it's like, dude, why can't I just like what I like and, you know, live in peace?
Exactly,
but
man.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, I'm not forcing you guys to buy them, but I like them, so I'm gonna wear them.
Exactly. Yeah, so,
well, I mean, speaking of Samba, so like moving into the latest pickups. So so it's been a while since the last pod. The last pod I did was almost a month ago now with Drew, and I already apologized to you guys earlier for the slight delay in pods. It's just been a really, really busy time. But as far as, so I do have a lot of pickups. So starting off with some samba. So I recently picked up the Jason Dill sambas.
Nice.
So this is a collab with Jason Dill. He's the founder of Fucking Awesome, the skateboarding brand, and he just put out a samba, which is super plain. Like, it's just white, it's got the black stripes, but what's unique about it, it's got an icy sole, which I think looks great on a samba, because the more you wear it, it's going to start yellowing, it's going to start, I just can't wait to see that age a little bit. And this has become kind of like a daily, almost like a daily beater for me now, because it's just like a white, clean white pair of sambas with some nice gold detailing on it that you can wear all the time. So that's been a nice one that I picked up. Nice. Of course, I already mentioned the SB4s. That was one of the big pickups that I actually paid a resale for. You guys know I hate doing that, but I had to for the Jordan 4s. Also, if you guys remember, at the start of the year when we did our New Year's resolutions, one of my New Year's resolutions was to try out brands that I've never ever tried out before, and I accomplished that in this last couple of weeks, because I picked up my first ever pair of Oakleys.
Dude.
So I got myself the Oakley Flesh sandal in the sand colorway. And they're pretty fire, man. You've seen these?
Dude, they're so good. The Brain Dead collab that they have, the Oakley Flesh, like, there's something about that where it's like, you don't know that you like it until you see somebody styling it on like Instagram or like any of those like hidden NY mood boards or whatever. But then when you see it, you're like, damn, that looks good. Like, I completely agree. I don't know if I'd end up picking one up just yet, but like, man, those are super clean. I've seen a couple of guys wear those, and I don't know what it is. Like, when it's worn the right way, which I think you'll rock it well with your aesthetic, it looks super clean. So
they're
that's a good
fire
pickup.
Man. They're so sick. And they look like nothing else that I own, you know?
Yeah.
It's so out there. I love it.
100%.
Yeah. They are, I will say, though, they're a little bit pricey. Because, like, it is a sandal, and the retail price I paid was like 180 euros, which is, in my opinion, like a lot for a sandal.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that kind of threw me off, to be honest. I didn't expect that retail, but I guess like the quality on it is pretty nice.
Yeah.
And a couple of other pairs. So I picked up the Stussy Converse collab on the Chuck 70s, the Fossil colorway. Have you seen this one?
Of course. Yeah. Very clean. Not much to complain about there. It's just really good.
But like, man, like, I'm so conflicted about this shoe, because honestly, when I picked them up and I looked at them, those pearls, man, the pearls.
Yeah.
It's a bit fruity looking. But your
pants will cover it, no?
True. Yeah, I guess so. But like, you know, we're heading into summertime now, you know, planning to maybe wear it with some shorts. The pearls are a bit, I don't know, man.
They're very subtle, though, if I'm being totally honest.
Okay.
But for me personally, I was never a Converse high top with shorts guy. I don't know what it is. I think it's because I'm short. I got short legs. So like, they're, I don't know, like, I obviously have no issues wearing high tops, but there's I don't know, I've never it's never been my thing wearing high top Converse with shorts.
No, I agree with you, that's not the best look. Even I don't think the length of your legs really matter. I think I think high tops in general with shorts, like even Jordan 1 highs for me, like, I don't think it looks great with shorts. I think with shorts, like low tops, sambas, Converse lows, I think they look great.
And
speaking of low tops for the summer, my last pickup was one that, I'll be honest, I was influenced by TikTok on this one. I picked up the Puffy Vans.
Those are nice.
Those are sick, man.
They're nice.
They got this, like, if you wear it with, especially with some like cargo shorts, it's like you got the ultimate like bad boy skater look. You know, like, it's like a rebellious look. I love it.
I totally agree. Vans, I got the what was the collab last year, the green one. They were inspired by like coffee. It was like matcha tea. There was a brown pair.
Notra.
Yeah, I picked up a pair of those Notra Vans. I didn't wear them much last year, but I'm going to be pulling them out this year, which is fun to do. I like when it's like you buy a shoe and you're like, I may not wear it a ton right now, but like, I'll bring it out in like a year's time and people forget about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
which
definitely.
Which is like not a first world problem, but that's some, you know.
Definitely. That's definitely a luxury, man. For sure. What about you? Any recent sneaker or I know you don't just wear sneakers, so any pickups recently?
Yeah. So in terms of sneakers, I got a pair of the Nike Vomeros in the, the gray colorway. Super comfortable, man. Like one of the most comfortable shoes.
The gray one is one of the nicest colorways too.
Yeah, very clean. I would say similar to that in terms of comfort is the ASICS Gel Kayano 14. I also got a pair of those. And those are equally as comfortable, if not more. I got a pair of the Salomon ACS Pro, which I have been, I feel like I've been talking a lot about. But man, those are excellent. I absolutely love those. And I'm excited to wear those. That'll be a good summer shoe as well, just because the colorway that I got is just gray and white. And it's just very wearable. So I'm going to be wearing those a lot. I, of course, you know, it's been a couple months, but I got the Air Jordan 3 White Cement Reimagine. Those are excellent. I have zero complaints. I know some people experience some quality control issues. I am lucky I have not. I don't think that makes up the majority of the pairs anyways, but those have been great. I also got a pair of the Merrell Hydromach AT, which is...
That's the high top Merrells, right?
Yeah, it's not a high top, but it comes with like a sock liner. Do you know what
I mean? It's more like a mid top, right?
Yep. Yeah, and they're so good. They're clean. Like if anyone listening, if you love Salehe Bembury Crocs, I would definitely grab a pair of the Hydromach AT. It has this very like industrial kind of like utilitarian kind of look. I know it sounds weird, but it's got bungee cords, it's got Velcro straps, it's got a sock liner, it's got this thick tread outsole. It's just very, very clean. And it's actually easy to style. Mind you, I got the white pair, but when you throw them on with like some cargos, like it looks really clean. And so those are
sick. I wanted to get the black pair.
Yeah. I think I might actually swap the white. You know what? I actually got the Salehe Bembury Crocs in the white, and I wish I had gotten one of the brighter colors, which is funny enough. Because my whole thing was that, like, it's pretty polarizing. I haven't worn them before, don't know how I feel, you know what I mean? So I'm like, let me get the white because it'll kind of go with more things. But looking back, I kind of wish I had gotten, like, the orange or, like, that highlighter green pair. Just because when I see people styling those brighter colors, I find it just, like, it looks cooler in a sense. I don't know.
I totally agree, man. I made a mistake getting the white pair as well.
Yeah. But what are you going to do? You know, I can still probably get a different pair. I feel like that's a very polarizing shoe because a lot of people have sizing issues. So there might actually be a ton of pairs floating on the secondary market. I haven't checked for a decent price. But yeah, I've been buying a lot of clothes recently. I've been actually doing some damage on Etsy, getting some more vintage stuff.
Yeah, is that where you go for? Is that your number one go-to for vintage, Etsy?
Etsy and eBay. eBay is probably the best, although I find it's not the best user experience scrolling through clothes. But the best part about with eBay is that you can bid, and that's huge. Because same with Grailed. I would say Grailed is a good those are like my three that I use is Grailed, Etsy, and eBay. The thing with Grailed is it's automatically in US dollars, and I live in Canada. I'm Canadian, obviously, so you got to keep that in mind.
Grailed is a bit expensive too, I find, compared to the prices there in general are way higher.
Yeah. It depends on what you're looking for sure. But if you're looking for any of the hype stuff, for sure. But you know, I've gotten like these real Tree camo pants, and I got them for like $40, and I was like, that was a steal because I've already like gotten my use out of them. I wear them all the time. But I've gotten a couple varsity jackets. I got this like '90s Umbro like nylon track jacket.
Sick.
Yeah. But the thing is that like I don't know how it's gonna look, and I don't know how it's gonna fit. So,
yeah, that's the thing we'll with see. Vintage, man. Yeah. Like, especially like I kind of completely stopped buying vintage stuff online because like I'm just like I have a weird body type, I guess. I'm just like tall and long limbs, so usually like everything you buy vintage is kind of like shrunk, you know. So it just never fits me properly. So I unless I try it on, like I'm not gonna buy it.
Yeah, you know, I totally get that. That's part of the challenge. It's part of the you know, the whole thing. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been into. Just looking, you know, same with eBay, you know, just kind of browsing. And I buy a lot from Essence as well. So
I wish there was like good shipping options to Europe for Essence, but Essence is like pretty expensive over here.
Well, you have End. End is
yeah, no, we got good. End, but yeah, yeah, I mean, like, I'm always like, you know, sale. Whenever there's a sale anywhere, like, I'm make sure I'm signed up for the newsletters so I get like notified early and all that. Yeah, man.
Oh, 100%.
Just definitely got a shopping addiction, man. Got a
problem. Yeah, just one quick shout to Stussy. I feel like of all of the brands, like, every time they drop something, it's immediately got my attention just because their stuff is very wearable, I find, and there's always like a couple like loud pieces. So.
But like, even the loud pieces are fire.
Oh yeah, like yeah. I've been, man, they're a little pricey, but the latest spring collection, they dropped these bomber jackets that look amazing, but I think they're like $5, so I was like, nah, like, you know, there's so many affordable bomber jacket options. So like paying $500 for a bomber is a little bit tough.
Dude, I go to London all the time, and I've noticed, like, throughout the years, every time I go to London, the lineup outside Supreme and Palace, for example, would be like an hour long at least, right? And nowadays, whenever I go to London, there's no lineup at all outside Supreme and Palace. The lineup is outside the Stussy store.
Really? Eh?
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy how popular the Stussy store Stussy has gotten. Because in the past, man, like, there was never a lineup. I could just walk right into Stussy. But now, like, I got to wait at least half an hour to get into Stussy.
No, I know. And I totally get that. Supreme is just one of those things where I feel like it was certain that this was going to happen, where the hype was going to take a dive just based off the sheer amount. Like, I don't know if we really realize, like, the sheer amount of clothes they drop per year. There's so many things, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've started to really get back into Supreme, though. Like, I you know what I love about Supreme now? I love that they're not hyped at all.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Because, like, they're actually dropping some of the most fire pieces. And the best thing ever is a Supreme store opened up literally 10 minutes, like, walking distance from where I live in Berlin. Nice. So, like, perfect. I'm just like, anytime there's something I want, I just fucking walk up there, go grab it. And like, there's no lineup, there's no hype anymore. I love it. This is like where. This is like my favorite time to be like into Supreme, when you don't have to fight with all the hype.
Yeah, and even like their iconic like graphic tees that they come out with, you know, when you throw that on with like a jacket over top, like, I feel like it's a very clean look, adds a little bit amount of detail, and then for people that know, they're like, oh, like he knows, you know what I mean? It's like one of those things.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's I like it a lot.
All right, Bryce, man. So we've been talking a lot. Let's get into the questions, man. The audience, the fans. Like, first of all, a lot of people definitely requested to have you on the pod because, of course, like, I think we have a lot of like similar audiences.
Yeah, definitely.
And of course, people want to hear from the swaggiest dude on Sneaker YouTube. Yo,
that's
for
a lot
sure,
of pressure,
man.
Bro.
Yo, come on, man. Like, you just gotta own it, man. Own the title. All right. You earned it.
I'm the king. All right. That's me. Yeah, no, I totally get that. But thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's
all right, let's kind of go back to like where it all began. So first of all, have you always lived in Toronto? Were you born there?
Yeah, so I was born in Toronto, and for the vast majority of my life, I've lived in Mississauga. For those that don't know, it's like a suburb, 20 minutes literally from Toronto, and that's kind of where I went to school. It's where I grew up, but you know, I was, you know, in and out of Toronto my whole life, so I've been in this area like since day one.
Okay, so so me too, of course. Like, I grew up and spent most of my childhood in Toronto, so
yeah.
In my opinion, it's quite a difficult city to be fashionable, mainly because of the climate, right? So, like, it's super harsh weather. So, growing up in that type of city, right? Like, what was some of your, like, earliest fashion inspirations? Where did it come from? Like, how did you even get this interest in fashion?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think when I really look back on it, like, think of the early days or where this all came from, number one, I think it came from like my mom. Like, my mom is like a fashionable person. She's always been very stylish and into clothes. And so when I really think back of like where I get that creativity from and where that interest from, like, ultimately it probably came from like her side. And my dad, for example,
Out to Bryce's mom.
That's
crazy.
Right. Exactly. And like, my dad, for example, has always been into like weightlifting and like that active kind of lifestyle. And so I get parts of that from him. And that's like the earliest, I think I would say, because even, you know, growing up in preschool and grade one, like grade school, like, my mom always would like try to like dress me kind of swaggy, you know, in whichever way possible. I wore a lot of like hand-me-downs because I have an older brother and stuff like that, but it was always like, oh, let's look presentable kind of thing. And then when I look back on like my interest in shoes and clothes, like there are very specific like pop cultural instances that I look back on and think like that played a very big part. And number one, I think it was 2002, there was a song that like took over, it swept the nation, whatever you want to call it. And it was from a rapper from, I think he's from St. Louis. And the song was Air Force One by Nelly. And
Nelly,
I specifically,
man, of course,
remember asking my cousin to burn a CD and put that song on the CD so I can listen to it on my Walkman. And you know, I remember, like, when you're a kid, you have the attention span where you can listen to the same song over and over and over again, and that's what I did with that song. So when you're a kid and it's 2002 and I think I was in grade 2, and you have Air Force One in your ear all the time, you guess what, you're gonna grow up wanting a pair. So I think that year, like the next year, I was like asking my parents for a pair, and I remember I went into Foot Locker and there was a red Air Force One with a gray swoosh, and they ended up getting me the black with the gray swoosh, which in my opinion is probably a better vibe. So that was like one of the very early instances that I can remember. And then there are a couple others. My cousins have always been into sneakers ever since that I can remember. They would come over to my house at our big family gatherings, and it was like, oh, whoa, those are cool shoes, you know what I mean? And one time I was at my aunt's house, and my cousin Aaron specifically, after I had complimented him on his shoes or whatever, he's like, oh, let's come look at my shoes that I have in my collection, you know what I mean? And I was like, whoa, you have a collection? And so I went into his room, and there was like floor to ceiling stacked with shoe boxes, and like my jaw hit the floor. I was like, holy crap, like this is insane. And so for the next 20-30 minutes or whatever, he would pull out a pair of shoes, talk to them with me about them, and like just kind of break them down. And I remember there were specific ones like the Air Jordan 13 where I was like, whoa, these look so cool. And he's like, yeah, they're inspired by like the cat or whatever, like, you know, just stuff like that. And another one was the Air Jordan 17 in a briefcase. When those first released, they came out in a silver briefcase, and he clicked it open like it was like a money heist or something, and he got like this briefcase full of money, and he opened it up, and it's inside of it is an Air Jordan 17 with a CD-ROM, and like there's a little tab on the heel that says peel off, and it was just like, oh, my brain just exploded. So you know, those were some of like my earliest memories of like being into sneakers, and ever since that moment, it was like, oh, I want a pair of Jordans, and like that kind of thing. So those were some of like my earliest inspirations of how I got into like shoes and clothes. But one thing I will say, it was shoes first before I got into clothes.
Wow, man, you're lucky, man. You got so many inspirations. Yeah. So many people in your family who made sure you always look good.
Oh,
who
yeah.
gave you lots of fashion inspiration. That's crazy, because I had no one in my
family,
really,
eh?
Man. So
yeah.
that's crazy. That's awesome, man. Like, and so you also first got into sneakers before the fashion came later.
That's correct. Yeah. And another thing was, you know, so I was like, okay, cool. So when I saw my cousin's sneaker closet, I was probably in like grade 7, right? So I'm like, okay. You know, the next year I was like, okay, I want a pair of Jordans, right? Because I was still at the point where I was like, as most kids do, where it's like one pair of shoes a year. Like when the school year starts, like that's when you get your pair of shoes that you're going to wear until the next school year. And so I remember asking for like Jordans, and they're like super random. At the time, like Jordan 1s were not hyped. And there was a pair of these Jordan 1 lows that were green with a silver swoosh, like with a like white paneling. Like they looked really nice. They're called the Jordan 1 Low Northside, which is like very obscure shoe by today's standards. But that was like one of my first pair of Jordans. I mean, to call them retros is a little bit.
I gotta look those up. I've never
heard
of those.
Dude, look them up. Jordan 1 Low Northside. They had a bunch of obscure Jordan 1 lows just because like nobody.
Why
really
were they called the
them.
North Side? Was it like something Toronto
know.
Related?
Maybe. I'm not 100% sure in the history of it, but they said North Side on the heel, I believe.
Yeah, they do. All right. No, they're clean, man.
They're pretty clean. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. And then the other one was like those, because I didn't know anything about shoes. Like I didn't have the education yet. So I went into Foot Locker and like, what do they have on the shelves? It was like the flight models, right? So I had the all white Jordan Flight, whatever they're called. They were all white with like chrome details on them. Very clean looking shoe. Like it wasn't like even to by now's like by today's standards, it wasn't tacky. It's still a team Jordan, but like from there, you know, that was like where my collection, I would say, started to grow. And then when I was in ninth grade, my cousin literally like came over to my house, because I once again, this is when I was really getting obsessive with shoes. Like at the time I had MSN and like my display picture was like a pair of Air Jordan 1s, you know what I mean?
So
I
was MSN, bro.
Those are the days, man. Oh yeah. and so he literally hands me a shoe box, and inside the box he's like, here you go, and it's a pair of Air Jordan 5 in the wolf gray colorway. And that was like my first retro, and that's when shit really hit the fan in terms of like, yo, like I cannot wait to wear these, A, and B, like, I need another pair. You know what I mean? That's kind of how it all sort of went down.
You caught the bug.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man, that's cool, man. Really, really, really cool to hear about how you got started and with all this. So we know like where your inspiration for sneakers and fashion kind of came from.
Yeah.
And you kind of answered this earlier, but you have now been doing YouTube for a few years. So what, like, when you first started, like what actually made you want to start a YouTube channel? Because liking shoes is one thing, but then going on YouTube and talking about it, that's a whole different thing that not a lot of people do. So what kind of made you want to do that?
Yeah, exactly. So I had been, because of my newfound interest in shoes, around, you know, 2008, 2009, like I was just absorbing as much content as I possibly can. So the first few resources that I landed on were, of course, Complex. That's where I got a lot of my education in terms of like, because they would put out these elaborate lists of like top 50 greatest Air Force Ones of all time, top 50 greatest Nike Dunks of all time. And you're like, whoa, these are cool. You know what I mean? And that's how you learn about the collaborations and the legendary pairs of like Stussy and Huff and like all those collectible pairs, right? And so through doing that, and I think through Google, like, you know, you land on these videos of people reviewing some of these shoes that you're looking up, and you're like, wow, like there's people on here that are talking about shoes. And, you know, that's how I landed on guys like Mr. Fulmer Simpson. And there were so many early guys that aren't even doing it anymore. But like, this is a real deep cut, but there was a guy named Mr. Crispy Coyle. And he was like a New Balance guy from like Pittsburgh. And that's, I was like, wow, this guy's like obsessive about like New Balance sneakers, which at the time like was very niche, you know what I mean? And I always had thought like, oh, I could picture myself talking about shoes online, but like, you know, I just would make excuses because I was like either self-conscious or just didn't have the confidence, or like I would say like, oh, I don't have enough money to be able to do these elaborate shoe hauls that these guys were doing, where they're like buying three, four pairs of shoes at a time. You know what I mean? And so I just like kept putting it off. And then there were guys like, you know, like we had mentioned prior, like Yoanti and Eddie Wynn, where they were doing stuff, but it just seemed when they were doing it, maybe it's because I look like those guys, where I was like, I could picture myself doing this. And then eventually, you know, you build it up and you're like, today is the day where I'm just going to make a video. I'm going to upload it and see what happens. And then it was February 2018 is when I uploaded my first video, and it was an OVO Jordan 8 review and collection of like a couple other OVO pieces that I had, which was like a hoodie and a couple t-shirts or whatever. And then since then that was like where it all sort of started.
That, dude, so you started your channel literally a month after me.
No way.
So we literally started pretty much at the same time. That's crazy.
Isn't that wild? That's so yeah, I think at that time also, it was like there are guys like that are building careers off this. Like I know that's not really why I started it in the first place, but it just seemed like that whole like the sneaker industry, the content creator industry, like everything was sort of booming and like becoming really big. And there was guys like Casey Neistat that were making cool YouTube videos, and you're like, oh, maybe I want to film a vlog, you know what I mean? And so that's like the first couple videos that I had uploaded as well were like vlogs and like, you know, that have like zero views and stuff like that. But it kind of was like all sneakers and lifestyle stuff that I had sort of started with. And then as time has gotten over, I feel like I've like focused a bit more on the types of content that I make.
So when it comes to your content, so
yeah,
so when you started your channel, did you start it with the intention of, you know, mainly focusing on sneakers, like, or when did you decide to focus more on like that fashion aspect about sneakers?
Yeah, so once again, I was just kind of throwing shit at the wall just to see what stuck in terms of content, like just making like random stuff, like lifestyle stuff. But it was always, because of my first upload, it was always sort of in the vein of like clothing and shoes, just because that's what I was most interested in at the time. And I did have that in mind when I started my channel. And I remember that year I had bought a Supreme fanny pack, and I was like, oh, let me make like a styling video on a Supreme fanny pack, like super random, right? And I made, and I feel like that trend had like kind of picked up, right? And keep in mind, this was the days of like skinny jeans, off-white t-shirts, like Supreme, Bape, like that's kind of the peak of that era. And so I had done the video of the fanny pack, I think maybe I had like 10,000 views in like a week, and I was like, oh my God, like I couldn't believe. And it's such a terrible video. I still have it up. If you want a good laugh, you guys can watch it. But that was when I was like, wow, like there's like a desire for videos, but I didn't know why the video had done so well. It wasn't until later when I was like, oh, let me do a little bit of research as to like how to get more views on a video, or like how to sort of, you know, make the most out of this opportunity, that I realized that like the reason why that video had done well is because for whatever reason, people were searching for that type of content. And like that has inspired my content to this day of like, I would like to make videos that people are actively searching for.
Yeah, that's a smart strategy, man.
Yeah, that's kind of, and it's sort of, you know, a strategy that you do, whether intentionally or unintentionally, where when you do a sneaker review, like you're making that review and the types of people that are watching it are curious to see how the shoe fits, how the shoe looks on feet, what are the close-up details of it. And at least that's one of the reasons why, right? So
yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, like, especially, I think if you make any kind of review type of content, doesn't even have to be sneakers, you're always like, the majority of your audience is always going to be search traffic. It's just people looking for that particular product and they find your video, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of like what my content looks like today as well, is like, you know, I try to make videos that people are searching for, and that's kind of what I do. But I like to mix in things that you know, I'm just generally passionate about or interested in. Like I have a series on my channel where I review outfits of my subscribers, my followers, where they send me outfits and I discuss them. And it's just kind of one of those like community building types of videos that I love to do. And it's very much like a podcast style in terms of like, I open the intro of the video. It's just me, you know, talking about how life's going. And it's just one of those things that's really fun to do. I feel like now the career that I'm at currently at with my YouTube is I have a little bit more freedom to sort of experiment with different types of videos. It's fun. That's when the most fun for me making videos is when you stumble on upon a topic that you didn't know people were necessarily interested in hearing about, and the video performs well and people are commenting, and it also helps to grow your channel as well.
Yeah, for sure, man. So a lot of your audience, you know, they see your videos, they see the final product, right? And you always got the nice thumbnails and everything. But like most people don't really understand how difficult it is to actually put out content, especially the type of content you make, which is like, you know, you do like 10 outfits in a video and they'll just see you like snap your finger and just go from one outfit to the next. But they don't see all of that work that goes into it. So maybe...
Yeah.
How about like you, maybe for the audience, like describe your typical week as a content creator?
Yeah, so my typical week as a content creator is basically the week will start off, and if I don't have a video planned, that's like the first, like my main week revolves around me uploading a YouTube video. Any TikTok or Instagram posts that I upload is all just because I have the time and the extracurricular time, you could say, to be able to upload that, which I still put a main focus on. You know, I try to show love to all of the social media channels, but really like my number one priority at the week is uploading the YouTube video. And my process for uploading is basically I come up with a topic. Sometimes I have 3, 4, 5 ideas that I have planned that I need to get out. Sometimes it's less and I'm sort of scrambling to like, okay, like let me just take this time to really be thoughtful and make a video that that I care about making. And then from there it'll take me anywhere from 3 to 4, sometimes an entire day, to sort of plan the type of video in terms of what I'm gonna say. Certain videos I do script, which adds a lot more time to it. And other videos I kind of just like speak off the cuff, which I enjoy doing. It's a little bit more natural that way as well. But sometimes I find like with my outfit videos, the audience retention is much lower. So I try to be very specific with what I say and try not to ramble too much, because I like to show visual references of what I'm saying on screen. So whenever I do like how to style an Air Jordan 3 10 ways, I try to, like I said, just whatever I'm speaking about, have like a visual reference on screen. But yeah, it starts with the preparation, and then I do the setup in terms of like, you know, setting up the lights, the microphone and the mic stand, which will take anywhere from like, you know, maybe 1 to 2 hours to make sure the framing is right. And then I'll hit record. Recording, believe it or not, is actually the lowest amount of time that it takes. When I hit record, you know, I try to like not, like I said, ramble too much or have any dead air. I try to make the edit as quick as possible. So maybe my filming will take like 30 minutes, to which I cut down to anywhere from 10 to 5 minutes, depending. And then the editing is probably the most time consuming, where it'll take, you know, anywhere from maybe 5 to 10 hours, including the YouTube thumbnail as well, which is obviously important. So that's kind of how it is. And usually the process for me making a video to posting it, it takes anywhere from like 3 to 4 days. And it's I'm at a point right now where I'm trying to like find help, you know, trying to find a video editor. But the problem is that it's like I need somebody who is like kind of well versed in like the sneak, like it's hard to find like a sneaker video editor.
Yeah, I totally get you,
man.
Trust me, I got the same issue. Like, it's so difficult, especially like when it's your video and you have like a particular vision for it.
Yeah,
it's really difficult to get a third party to edit it.
Viewers, like editing a video is very personal. Like, like you want it to be edited in a way that you care about, in the way that it almost reflects your style. And I worked with a video editor once, and the video came out fine, but it felt like, and I have to get over this over time, obviously, as I expand and like try to upload more. Like if I do hire a video editor, the ultimate goal would be to free up time so that I could post more. But it felt like, I don't know, it felt like very impersonal in a way, where it's like, oh, I didn't have like my final say on this. And also he was editing on a different platform, so I wasn't able to put like my final kind of touches on it. So like if I were to find a video editor, they would have to use Final Cut Pro. They would have to like be well-versed in sneakers. And like that is so specific. And it's been a challenge to find somebody that meets all those qualifications. So I feel like I'm going to have to get over that eventually.
Yeah, I agree. It's tough, man, because like it's your art at the end of the day, you know.
And, yeah.
And just having someone else work on it, it just, for me, takes the joy out of. I actually really enjoy editing and doing cool edits and all that.
Yeah. So. Me too. Likewise. Some of them. So I do certain types of videos where I talk about like fashion trends, those ones are so time consuming. Like I'm talking like 15, 20 hours to edit. It's wild. Like it takes me multiple days because I want to find a visual, like I said, visual reference of what I'm talking about. But I also like to switch the image every 2 seconds. And
that's
very
how you keep
difficult
the
to find that. And one of the big revelations for me was Pinterest. Like literally like maybe 5-6 months ago, I just started using Pinterest for the first time. They have a great search engine. So if I am talking, I could just type in like Adidas Samba outfits and it'll come up. Meanwhile, if I did that on Instagram, you'd get a whole bunch of crap. Like Instagram is such
that's a good point, man. I should keep that
platform.
In mind.
Yeah.
Cool. So okay, all right, so thanks for giving me your whole process. It's very relatable, I gotta say, because I spend most of my time editing, and now I'm spending a lot more time editing because I'm starting to realize I truly enjoy it. Like I'll my last couple of videos, I've spent so much time editing, and it's just been fun trying out new different things.
Totally.
Okay, so let's get into so far being a content creator, what's been maybe some of the coolest moments you've had. It could be even being recognized on the street, which I'm sure you have by now.
Yeah, so that's definitely very cool. That's always like appreciated when someone says what up. Like it's been really cool. And funny enough, like the times that it's happened the most has been with my fiance, which I think is like cool because it's like,
oh, that's even better.
yeah. Whenever there's somebody with you, that's when it feels the best. And one time it happened to me at Best Buy when I was with my fiance and her parents. So when we moved into our condo, they were like, we would love to get you a housewarming gift, which would be a TV. And I was like, wow, that's so generous, thank you. And they were like, okay, let's go now and we'll go pick one out. So I was like, okay, cool. So we went into Best Buy, and you know, from her parents' perspective, they're like, oh, I don't really know specifically what this guy does, but like, I hope you know, he's supporting and holding his, you know, which I obviously do. But we had a guy in there, and very, very nice guy, and he like came over and was like, hey, like I watch your videos. And like, I think at that moment they were like, oh, okay, like people clearly tune into what this guy says. So yeah, the fact that it happened in front of you know, my future mother and father-in-law, I think is really good. Oh,
timing couldn't have been better. That's shout out to that guy.
Yeah, but definitely some my most like precious moments, I would say, is just meeting other creators. Like, you know, when we met for the first time, it's just, I find it so cool when you see somebody on screen that you've watched so much, and then you see them in person, you're like, this is a surreal moment to be able to like chat with somebody that I admire, or that I've, you know, met with, or at least seen on screen for all these number of years. And
yeah, for, you know, sure, man. I felt the same when we met. Just hanging out, I'm like, man, this guy is so cool.
And thank you, and
by the way, if you guys can't already tell by listening to this pod, Bryce is like the same guy on his videos and in real life. Like, he's just down to earth, cool dude.
Thank you. And but yeah, last summer I had the chance to meet Johnny Tai, which was awesome. If you guys don't know, he's big into fashion as well, and he's got a great channel. So meeting him was really cool. Met a couple other people, and then in a month's time, I'm actually gonna meet up with there's a guy on YouTube, Jose Zuniga. He's teaching men's fashion. That's his. So he's got a big a channel as well. So I'm gonna have the opportunity to meet him. So that's cool. Launching my own clothing line was cool, but it is, I kid you not, it's one of the most challenging things I've ever done, and I've only put out one drop. Like, it's so interesting when you are tasked with designing clothes. I have so much admiration for people who do it at such a high level, because I love clothing and I'm very passionate about it, but like the moment you ask me to design my own thing, it's like my mind goes a blank. Like, so imagine somebody giving you a blank canvas and then being like, oh, make a nice painting that you would actually be willing to hang up in your house. It's very, very difficult, and the process takes so freaking long. Like, literally in last September, I have been planning my next drop, and I'm like just getting samples, and like, you know, so it's so difficult to source good manufacturers and decorators and the designers. It's, the process takes so long, and like, yeah, it's been one of the biggest challenges. But obviously when people are willing to spend their own hard-earned money on something that I've designed, that's obviously very cool and something that I've you know, been very appreciative of. But yeah, I would say those are sort of the two. And then also being able to get to the point where I am a full-time creator, that was also very cool for me as well. Just because it, in many ways, it was like validation of hard work, where it's like, I have enough sustainable income where I could be doing this full-time. And so I would say those sort of three things, you know, meeting people, putting on my own clothes, and then, you know, becoming a full-time creator. I would say those are the three sort of most exciting moments so far.
No, that's awesome, man. Great answer. All right, let's get into what we're here for. We're here to talk about kicks, man. We're here to talk about sneakers. So first of all, I got to talk about your that reel you did, which is your entire sneaker collection.
Yeah.
Which I think I have the most liked comment, by the way, on your reel.
Oh, do you? I got to check this. What was it?
Yeah. I left a comment there saying this is the greatest sneaker collection video I've ever seen, because it's straight to the point.
Yeah.
And a lot of people seem to agree with that. And yeah, man, dude, I'm gonna say it again. Like, dude, I loved the idea. Just like, every single sneaker. Like, I was like, man, I wish every sneaker collection video was just like this. Like, just show me all your sneakers. I don't need to know like the story of how you got every single one.
Right.
Just let me see your sneakers. And yeah. I thought it was so well done.
Yeah, that one.
And I'm
that
like,
one,
Yeah, it went pretty viral, right? On
it's my most watched reel, which I wasn't expecting. But the style of that video was influenced by a guy on Instagram. His name's like Dom Catlett, I believe, or Dominic Catlett, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he does those style of videos where they're super super quick cuts. It's like you can't look away in a sense. It's weird, especially with like when you hear the audio of like them slamming against the stool that I had to put them on. Like it's very like you're like, oh, I can't look away, you know. It's just interesting. But yeah, that video took me a very long time to make, and it's like 15 seconds or something. So literally, because I had we were speaking about this earlier. I have a I have a storage unit in my condo, and a lot of the shoes that I'm not currently wearing are in that storage locker. And you know, I had to bring all of those shoes up, and you know, first world problems, I know. But then I had to like record myself slamming them, you know. But it was very important. The stool couldn't move, the camera can't move. If any of those things change, it ruins the whole thing, in my opinion, at least. So I had to be very particular with how the video was shot and how the audio was recorded. And I'm glad that everything sort of turned out.
Yeah, no, it was great, man. And I was bummed at myself for like, I'm like, how did I should have thought of that.
that's you can still do it. What do you mean?
No, I'm not gonna steal your whole video concept, man. No, I'm not gonna do that. You should do it.
Man.
It's yours now. It's your idea.
But it's my idea. But like I drew inspiration from this guy Dom Catlett, who does these super quick edits where it's like pack with me to New York, and it's like he drops each individual clothing, and like you hear the visual references, or you know those people that do like fill my fridge, where it's like they like fill their fridge is empty and then they fill it up with like that's where I drew inspiration from. So it's definitely not my idea, and you could totally, and I think you should do it if you're down. I mean, it's totally up to you. I
need to do a collection video because my audience has been asking me that for a while.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Let's break down your collection for me. So like first of all, like how many pairs do you have, and also what are the brand ratios like what percentage of it is Adidas or whatever?
So I would say I probably have around 60 pairs of shoes, of sneakers, and then I probably have maybe 15 pairs of other shoes, because I don't just wear shoes all the time. I've got boots that I like to wear. I've got things like Doc Martens, Oxfords, loafers, that kind of stuff. So I probably have around like 75-ish pairs of shoes total, which it's funny because I used to think that I wanted like hundreds of pairs of shoes, but you become like at least I don't have the space for any of that stuff. So I am very like particular, and like even just like I'm giving my brother today, for example, my anniversary pair of Air Max ones, just because I've gotten the new Big Bubble ones. So it's like, why do I need my anniversary pair? Plus they're half size too big, and my brother, that's his shoe size, so I'm gonna give those to him. So I'm constantly trying to like lower my collection. But the breakdown I would say is majority Jordans. I've always, because that's kind of my roots, I've always been into Jordans. And I would say I have more Jordan 1s than any other pairs of shoes. And then I would say second is probably a tie between maybe Nike and New Balance. It's funny, in the past few years, I think I've bought more New Balance than I have any other pair of shoes, maybe. On a week-over-week basis, I probably wear New Balance the most. I just, the way that like my sort of, you know, way I dress is just very aligned with how New Balance, I guess you could say, look. And it's just, they've been putting out a ton of great shoes, obviously, you know, it goes without saying. So, and then I would say I probably have the least Adidas, I would say, although that's not like for a specific reason. I love Adidas, but that's just kind of how things have worked out. But yeah, I think I would say that's kind of the breakdown. And then Nike, it's a lot of like, you know, Dunks, for example. I have a lot of Dunks. You know, Nike Craft general purpose shoe I have, and some of those other like specialty pairs, Vomeros, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's kind of like the breakdown.
I've noticed also, and it's been really nice to see, I've noticed that you started to rock some Solomons too, like over the last couple of years, because I've been on this Solomon gang for a while now, because it's a very popular shoe here in Berlin, and whenever I'm in Canada, I don't see a single person rocking Solomon, but have you started to notice that maybe your audience, you know, asking for some Solomon content, or have you noticed more people wearing Solomons? What's the deal with it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is one of those things where you do, and this is such a 2023 thing where it's like, I do kind of see more people styling them online than I do on the streets. Especially when I go to like fashion, you know, events or whatever. But I wear them. It's a rainy season right now, and Solomon is one of the best shoes to wear, especially with that particular thing. And they're very easy to style. But most of my content or most of my followers are probably used to more Air Jordan and Nike content. You know, when I do try to mix things up, some people have some words to say, which is totally fine. People are very, you know, valid for their opinion. But, always try to mix in Solomons as much as I possibly can, especially when I do like my more like, if I'm not doing a very specific like Air Jordan 3 styling video or Air Jordan 1 styling video, and every once a season, usually I'll do like spring 10 casual spring outfits or 10 casual summer outfits. Those are the opportunities where I get to wear Solomons and like more any shoe that I kind of want, which is great, because sometimes it can be challenging to sort of force a shoe into an outfit, if that makes any sense. So I love the freedom of being able to sort of wear whichever shoe that I want. And I try to do that as much as I possibly can.
So speaking of which, so far this year, what would you say are some of your most favorite sneakers that you've been wearing this year?
This year, we mentioned this before we started, but definitely the Adidas Samba. I've been campaigning for the Adidas Samba for about, like I said, a year and a half now, which is sort of like when it's the trend of Adidas Samba is sort of taken off. And I'm really glad that people have started to wear them more, just because the moment, like, it's this Adidas Samba, for anybody who has yet to try it or they've been apprehensive, like the moment you buy that shoe, especially in the classic white and black, I promise you, it'll immediately, whether you like it or not, become like your most worn shoe, because they're super comfortable, they go with everything, and they look great looking down at them, if that makes sense, because the T-toe box that they have. So
yeah, not enough people talk about that, actually, the top down look of a sneaker.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, like even like most sneaker reviews you watch, like they'll always show the on feet, it's just like the side, but like no one ever talks about the angle that you look at your shoes the most is always top down, right? So
of course. So those have been amazing.
Did you pre-order those kit Sambas?
I pre-ordered them. I didn't get them, but I don't think that they're like if I had gotten them, cool, I'm not gonna pay resale for them. What's interesting is I love Clarks. I wear Clarks Wallabies. That would be one of the shoes that would go into that 15 other pairs of shoes that I wear, and I do wear those often, but I wear the Sambas often, so you would think it'd be the perfect synergy. But for me, it's like, I don't know, there was just something, I found that the midsole looked kind of off place, and I actually really enjoy that like brown outsole that is on the Adidas Sambas, and for me personally, those are usually the ones that I gravitate towards, but I didn't end up going for those, but I really like them. They're very nice, the quality looks amazing, and I don't know, I feel like Kith is another one of those brands that like lately has been getting like a bit of a rat, like a tough, like people have been kind of digging into Kith a little bit recently, understand fully.
So what I've noticed with Kith, so since we're talking about Kith, I think what Kith is doing right now is absolutely brilliant. So I don't know if you've noticed their last, like maybe like five or six campaigns, whether it be their spring summer campaign or their Porsche collab campaign, even the previous collabs before that. Have you noticed who they've been hiring to be like in these campaigns? Yeah, but have you noticed with celebrities in particular?
I mean, the ones that jump out are, there was Bryan Cranston, there was Jerry Seinfeld.
Edward Norton, Jerry Edward Seinfeld. Norton. What do all these people have in common? They're all older men.
So they're attracting an older audience.
Exactly. And there's no other brand in fashion that targets older men. because like and there's never been a brand that like people like older men in their like 40s and 50s can like gravitate to as like, oh, it's a cool brand for me, you know.
And it's expensive, right?
Yeah, it's expensive. And like, to be honest, like Kith shouldn't try to target, you know, millennials or even like Gen Zs, because they can't afford their stuff. So Kith is moving all its marketing to target the older demographic, and it's starting to become like the brand for the older demographic. That's what I've noticed. And it's very targeted if you notice what they're doing.
Yeah, I never really thought about it like that. But it makes sense.
So it makes sense why, like, on TikTok, like, people are, you know, roasting it. Well, guess what? Now, this brand is not for you TikTokers anymore. It's for the older people with money.
Yeah, even the BMW collab. Like, who?
Yeah.
That's a very specific person buying a Kith BMW. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah. So that's just something. It's pretty clear with their brand strategy, like, what they're trying to do, I think, at least.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but anyway, so getting back to the topic of sneakers. So what would you say so far is your sneaker of the year?
It's tough. I mean, help me out if I'm forgetting any, but like, I feel like the Air Jordan 3 Reimagined needs a shout, although it's not number one, and it can't be number one. Whenever there's like a retro that comes out every 5 years, it's hard to put that number one.
Bro,
like,
thank you. I'm so glad you said that, because I say that whenever I do my end of year top 10 countdown, I say this at the start of every video.
Yeah,
I'm like, never going to put like a retro unless it's a retro that's significantly different than the original.
Like the Off-White Chicago Air Jordan 1. Or even
last year, like for example, the Jordan 1 Reimagined, the Chicagos. I thought that it was pretty unique from the original, where like I'm like, this is a contender.
Yeah,
but if it's just like you know, bringing back the shoe, like to me that shouldn't be in the discussion for sneaker of the year.
Yeah, they did the Spider-Man Air Jordan 1 that had the same Chicago color blocking. Like, it's like this happens like every 2 years, you know, or maybe not every 2 years, but like, yeah, I totally agree. But I do think that like an Air Jordan 4 Nike SB could be in the contender, because it's kind of two things merging together
in
a way that's different. And
they redesigned the shoe completely, right?
And like, to the untrained eye, they would probably disagree. But for people who are in the know, you would know that like it's a different shoe. It's not the same. So I think that could be up there. I think even the Kith Sambas, like, I feel like the one of those types of collaborations should be on there, given the impact that shoe has kind of had. Because one of the reasons why the Samba is so popular is because men and women can both enjoy it. And that's one of the things that propels a shoe, is something that, you know, men and women can both get behind. And I'm not to say that women can't buy a lot of Air Jordans, but if you ask most females, they're more, you know, the average one, at least, they're probably more particular or would be interested in wearing those lower top silhouettes that are, you know, are relatively simple in terms of their design. But I'm trying to think. So the Kith Sambas, I think maybe could break the list, but it's still so early to tell, right? I'm just trying to think of shoes that are released so far.
I mean, it's been like, even though it's only been 3 months, I feel like there's been a lot of very strong contenders.
Help me out. What other?
I mean,
shoes
like for sure, like the Jordan 3 Reimagined. I would put the 4s SBs in there. And then like from New Balance's side, like I think the collab with Action Bronson.
Yeah. Really good. That'll be on. I guarantee that'll be on at the end of your top 10 list.
Exactly. You know? Like I think it's the Sambas to me definitely is on the list, although like I so haven't far. Seen the shoe in person, but I really like the concept, so it should be on there for me. If I were to pick one right now, I would say the fours, the SBs. I would put number one
I could see that, and I wouldn't disagree with it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm able, like, sometimes you got to sit back, even though it's not like my favorite release of the year, but I can sit back and be like, yeah, that was an important thing, you know, and it was something that a lot of people are talking about, and like that whole thing. So
yeah. Okay, so obviously, like, you're heavy into sneakers, so if money was no issue, right, like what is one sneaker that you would want to buy?
This one's easy for me to answer, and it's the Nike Air Yeezy 2 in either the black colorway or the pure platinum. And the reason for that is because when I was the most passionate about sneakers, that was the shoe that I wanted the most, and it seemed so far out of reach then, And even now, it still seems far out of reach just because they're very, very, very expensive. And because of the air bubble, it's kind of like a risky purchase at this point, because it's like, how many years would I be able to enjoy this shoe? But like I said, for the reason of the fact that when I was most passionate about sneakers, that's the shoe that I wanted most. I still think that that would be the shoe that my ultimate grail so far. And I mean, regardless of what you can say about the guy, Kanye sure knows how to design a shoe. And I think almost second, maybe third on that list, and this one's a little bit more attainable, it's actually the Yeezy 700 in the gray gum colorway. There's something about the gray with the gum sole and that 700 model, like so good. I love that shoe.
Yeah, no, man, a lot of people say that those were like the best Yeezys, yeah, the 700s.
Totally, and I feel like they dropped the ball in not being able to release more of those, but...
I think that was in the plans, you know, to actually come back this year, but of course, like, that all broke apart, but...
Yeah, and now, did you see the Jonah... You obviously saw, like, the Jonah Hill thing, right?
No. What about Jonah Hill?
Kanye posted on his... you could pull up Kanye's Instagram. He had... I think it was a post. He had said, like... I'm retracting.
Oh, he watched Superbad or something. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, all right, dude, whatever. But,
dude, come on. You can't believe anything Kanye says at this point, man. Like, he's obviously trolling. He's got one picture right now on his Instagram, and it's a picture of Jonah Hill.
Yeah. But let me tell you something. Let's be very clear. If Kanye drops an album tomorrow, like, the entire world is listening to it, and they'll judge it. Regardless of any recent bias,
that depends if he drops it on Spotify or not. If he drops it only on Stem Player, like,
oh yeah, no, I never listened to that album.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody did, yeah, man, because it was on Stem.
I don't know. Yeah, but he's a mad genius, man. I agree.
I would listen to his album if he dropped one, for sure.
With a guy like Kanye, you don't get the good of him, which is his designs and his art, without getting the bad. And that's kind of the reality. And the reason why we don't look at past geniuses like is because there was no social media at the time and their life wasn't under a microscope. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure guys like Walt Disney were in squeaky clean, you know, on their come up. So, you know, what I mean? Oh
man, someone needs to make a documentary on Walt Disney, man. Like, I'm sure that guy did some crazy shit.
Exactly. So, what about you? What's like one of your grails?
I mean, like, honestly, like most of the shoes I've ever wanted, to be honest, I've just gone and bought
them. That's beautiful.
Right?
Yeah.
But like, if there's one that's kind of haunted me, it's been like those ALD 990 V2s from like back in the day.
You can't get those?
Nah, cause man, first of all, it's really hard to find even like a used pair that's like going for a decent price. But like a new pair is like over $2,000 US dollars. I'm not spending that. So,
dude, lately I've been going on eBay, and trying to find like old pairs that I couldn't get at the release. Like, but I just bought a pair of the Bordeaux Air Jordan 7s. I was like, damn, I really wanted these. Saw them for $120. Mind you, there was no box and they were used, but I was like, they were in great condition. So I was like, hell yeah, I'm buying those. I bought those. I've been looking at LeBron 9s because I was like, I love the LeBron 9 is my favorite Nike basketball shoe, other than like the classics, you know what I mean? But I love the LeBron 9. So I've been trying to look at, there's the mango colorway in particular that I absolutely love. I don't know where I would wear those. I'd probably wear them to the gym or something. But because I don't know how the LeBron 9 looks like with Carhartt carpenter pants or whatever, you know,
with your Stussy knits. It's not gonna work.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a shoe that I would love to get. But
actually, I actually changed my mind, because the question was if money was no issue, right? So if money was no issue, my absolute favorite sneaker to buy would be the all white Louis Vuitton Air Force One.
So that
would be like my ultimate grail. Oh. It's a gorgeous shoe. The monogram all over, I think, looks amazing. And just recently, there was a picture of Cristiano Ronaldo like sitting on his like porch with those on, and I'm like, this is like my greatest athlete of all time wearing like my grail shoe. I'm like, I need to print this photo. Yeah, he probably got for free. I'm like, I need to print this photo, put it in my house, man, as my daily inspiration.
No, I totally agree. But like, man, the LV Jaspers, the ones with the pink midsole, those are so tough.
Yeah, and sick, man.
The the pigeon SB dunks. I mean, if money's not an issue.
Oh, of course,
I have tried to recreate that color blocking on, you can't do it though, on Nike ID. You can't do it. They won't allow you.
But I think Sean Go, I think he did it on an Air Max sneaker. Like, because I remember he put out a video with like the same color blocking, if I'm not mistaken.
Have you ever done? You know, I've never done a Nike ID in all of these years.
I've done it on Dunks. So like on the Dunks, you can actually you can pretty much just make yourself a Panda or a Kentucky or Syracuse, right? Like you can literally make any kind of dunk you want. So I've done it on Dunks before, but that's it.
Yeah. I don't know. All these years, I remember doing like LeBron 10 design, like just I don't know. Yeah, I've always, but I'll pull the trigger.
They had Nike by you on the LeBrons too.
Yeah, back in the day, it was called Nike ID, which I know you know, but they've had it for a long time. That whole program.
Okay, cool. All right, my next question is definitely a question. I'm very interested to get your take on this. Yeah. So what is your opinion on wearing sneakers with suits?
I'm not for it. I'm not a sneakers with suits guy. On my wedding day, I'm wearing a pair of dress shoes because I don't know. I feel like completing the look is important to me. And I feel like that's not to say that you can't wear sneakers with suits. Like if it's the summertime, you have a summer wedding, you're attending you want to throw on like a common projects type of shoe.
Yeah, it depends. You know? It definitely depends on the shoe. Yeah. I agree.
But you will not see me and my groomsmen wearing Air Jordan 1s taking a, like that's, I find that to be corny in my opinion.
I totally share your opinion, even though like people would probably think since I love sneakers so much, I would not, but I agree, man. I think like with a suit, that's it just doesn't, especially Jordans, man. Like Jordans don't go with suits. Like
remember the Concords? People were like, oh, patent leather, you could wear Concords with a suit, which
no,
is like,
you can't.
I know.
You can't.
One thing I would do, and I think I might do this, is once all is said and done, you know, it's your wedding night, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, everybody's on the dance floor, everyone's enjoying drinks, that's when I would, even if I'm still wearing the suit, that's when I would bust out the shoes, just because it's comfortable, and it's also my wedding, so it's like, you know what I mean? So I remember attending a wedding once where the groom did that, where he took all the photos, everything, pre-wedding, church, whatever, he was wearing dress shoes, and then when it was like 1:30 in the morning, that's when he busted out some like fresh Jordans, and I was like, okay, I would do that. But
yeah, that totally makes sense.
For the photos, everything, I want everything to be is very traditional. I don't want to look back 10, 20 years from now, like, oh my God, I can't believe I wore that at my wedding. Like, it'll be very black and white, just very well-fitting suit or a tuxedo. You know, there won't be any, like, burgundy coat or, like, nothing like, edgy, you know? Just because I feel like you are going to look back on your wedding photos and the wedding video, and I just would like for that moment to be like, oh, yeah, I look very classic here, if that makes sense.
Same, man. That's exactly how I want to look as well. Speaking of which, I didn't mention this at the top, but of course, congratulations to you, man, big time on your engagement. When is the wedding, by the way?
So the wedding is going to be in 2025, which is some time out. Like I have friends that have gotten engaged after me, and they're going to get married before me. But the reason why that it's taken a long time to sort of plan the wedding is because we're going to be doing a destination wedding in Portugal. So that's obviously takes a little bit more time, and we're connecting with some wedding planners now, and you know, when you choose a wedding venue, it's important that you go visit, and so we go once a year to Portugal, my fiance and I, and so this summer we're going to be going to look at venues. We have like a short list of places that we want to hit up all along Lisbon and the Algarve and stuff like that. So we have a couple options, and so once we go and select the place, which will hopefully be by the end of the year, we'll have a better sense of like the date and stuff like that. But you know, planning a wedding in a different country obviously adds a few more challenges than you would do if you lived in that country.
Okay, you guys have a lot of family in Portugal as well,
that's
right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, no, so that's amazing, man. That's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be a good time, and you know, I'm the youngest of three siblings. There's three of us, so my other two siblings, they did the traditional, so I was like, you know what, like I don't have this desire to I want whatever my fiance wants in terms of this wedding stuff, because I really don't care whatsoever. But I do think it'd be cool to have a destination wedding. So that's kind of like where I'm approaching it.
Dope, man. Dope, yeah. Dope, man. That's good. And
congrats to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Do you have any sense of your wedding stuff? I know it's very fresh with you guys,
so,
right?
So like, yeah, with us, it's like neither of us care about having a big wedding.
Yeah.
So like we're thinking of, we're just trying to figure out, we're probably going to do it next year, but we're trying to figure out like what's the most low key way to do
it.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're looking at some
save
options
money.
Right now,
that's
but
good.
But like we're neither of us thankfully is like, you know, always had this huge dream to have a huge wedding. So I mean, well, it's probably gonna be next summer, but we just don't know where or when yet.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. But yeah,
so I mean,
that'll be easy to get it, that'll be easy to execute, you know, which is
yeah, for sure. Exactly yeah. So what else is next for you then this
next
year?
Next for me, this year, like I said, still focusing on the clothing line that I'm trying to do, and trying to just, you know, have my own products that I can sell, which will be an extension of some of the ways that I make money, but also like stuff that I'm passionate about. You know, like I said, I'm going to be linking with other creators. I would love for us to link on a video one day, but Germany, Toronto, like it's a bit of a trek.
Yeah,
so
but
it'll happen one day. It'll happen.
Yeah,
one
whenever.
Day.
Yeah, next time I'm in town, I 100% want to do a video with you,
absolutely,
man, for sure.
Yeah.
That would be a absolute pleasure.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, just keep posting. But some of my long term goals, I would really love to get my own space to work out of, not just like a house or a room, like an actual studio. So that's something in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, just trying to grow what I do as much as possible. It's very fun, and I feel very blessed to be able to do this full time. So that's kind of
well, thanks a lot, man, on behalf of the Kickback Pod and all of our listeners. Appreciate it. Thank you so much for being a guest on the pod. I know me personally really enjoyed having the discussion with you.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, exactly, man. Like definitely just one of the best people doing this right now in sneaker YouTube. And appreciate it for showing up on the pod. For everyone else, thank you guys so much for listening as usual. And do not forget if you enjoy this pod, just hit that follow button.
Hit that follow button
on Spotify. That's it. Do one thing, man. Hit the follow.
You know? Tell a friend.
You know? That's all, man. I don't ask for much.
It's
like nothing.
Exactly.
I gave you.
It's
you
free.
Guys just got. You guys exactly. You guys just got an hour and a half of some great content. So just hit that follow button. Give me a 5-star. Appreciate it, guys. And until next time. Peace.